For our scripture reading today, let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and we'll read verses 1 through 10. I'll read the first and the odd-numbered verses. Pastor Brian will lead you in reading the even-numbered verses, and shall we stand as we read the Word of God? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep.
And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out.
And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers.
This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them.
And then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep.
All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them.
I am the door, and by me, if any man will enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture.
The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
Let's pray. Father, how thankful we are for that abundant life that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, that the work that you have done and the things that you have for us are just so great that it's hard to describe them in human language, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And so, Lord, we pray that you will just really now open our hearts as we learn a little bit more about this abundant life that you have for those that will follow after Jesus Christ. We ask it, Father, in his name. Amen. You may be seated. This week, our scripture reading was the Gospel of John, chapters 9 and 10. And these chapters really go together. There should not be a chapter distinction here. I think that when they were making the chapters and verses, that this is one of the mistakes that they made, because they broke up a sentence right in the middle of a sentence. There really shouldn't be a break between 9 and 10. But it's interesting, you know, we in reading are used to reading by chapters of books. And so you finish the chapter and you put the little corner of the page down and you think, well, I'll start, you know, my next reading at this chapter. But sometimes, you know, there isn't really any stop or pause between the chapters, but we seem to do that. And so here is where you really shouldn't pause when you get to the end of chapter 9, but just keep reading right on in to chapter 10. We'll do that tonight. We just will take the two chapters tonight together. Chapter 10 gives us the reaction of Jesus to the Pharisees following the healing of the man who was born blind. And that is in chapter 9, the story of the man that was born blind and is being healed by Jesus. The Pharisees were angry with Jesus because he did it on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees were angry with the blind man who could now see, and they kicked him out of the synagogue, excommunicated him. Jesus had found him and he asked him, if he believed in the Son of God. And he asked Jesus, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? And Jesus answered, you have seen him, it is he that is talking to you. And he responded, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which cannot see might see, that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words. They said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, and therefore your sin remains. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And notice that that's where you get the division of the chapters here, but it just goes right on and into chapter 10, where he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in by the door of the sheepfold tries to climb up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. So chapter 10 is just a continuation of this controversy between the Pharisees and Jesus over the healing of the blind man in chapter 9. But notice Jesus is talking about the entrance into the sheepfold. The sheepfold is actually the kingdom of God. And those who seek to enter into the kingdom of God by any other means than the door, as Jesus said, are thieves and robbers. There are many people today who are seeking to enter into the kingdom of God by their good works. And they are so involved in trying to substitute their good works for a blood sacrifice that the scripture required. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. In the law, God instituted the sacrifices that they should offer for the atonement or the covering of their sins. But nowhere in the scriptures does it indicate that God has abrogated the need for a sacrifice, nor suggested that good works could be substituted. Quite the opposite. God declares that our works, our good works, are as filthy rags in the eyes of God. The great rabbi Paul the Apostle concluded in Romans 9:30, that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained the righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith, but the Jews who followed after the law have not attained unto the law of righteousness. Why? He asked, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Thus, Jesus refers to them as thieves and robbers. In contrast, Jesus claimed in verse 7 that he was the door of the sheep, and if any man would enter in by him, that he would be saved and would go in and out and find pasture. In John 14, Jesus will claim that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and he will say that no man can come to the Father but by him. The Apostle Paul will later write, there is one God, one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. You say, well, that's pretty narrow. That's not politically correct. Well, that's true. But if a man can be saved by any other means than the cross, you can be sure that Jesus would not have suffered that ignominious death on the cross. It's quite clear that Satan is behind the religions of the world. And if you will look at the religions of the world, for the most part, They breed hatred, intolerance, misery, and when they try to make Christianity a religion, that same bigotry prevails. Jesus taught that he is the door, and to enter into the kingdom, you must come through him. Jesus said, the enemy or the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. I see in false religions how that they seek to rob a person of a true relationship with God. They rob you of the blessings of God. They rob you of the peace of God that you could know. They will rob you of a true understanding of God. And they will rob you from your freedom that you can have in Jesus Christ. As Peter wrote, while they promise you freedom, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. So he said that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He leads to spiritual death. The Bible says this is the record. God has given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son, and he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not life. The enemy has come, Jesus said, to destroy. And you look at how many lives have been destroyed by trusting in false religions. One of the names of Satan is Abaddon, and in the Hebrew, that is the word for destroyer. And how many people are destroyed in false religions? In contrast, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Many times in advertising a product where there is more than one model, you will find that it says, this is good, and then they will have, this is better, and then they will have, this is best. In the old Sears catalogs that we used to get, they would usually divide the products in those three categories, good, better, and best. In the advertising world, it's usually associated with classifying products, good, better, and best. And this is also the way that you classify pleasure. People say, well, he has the good life. And we think of that, well, that sounds pretty good. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. But then he went on to say, and that more abundantly, not just the good life, but the more abundant life that we have. So it's one step further than the good life. It's the more abundant life that we can enjoy in Jesus Christ. The life that he has to give to us is in reality the best. That life in Christ can't improve on that. It doesn't give you just joy, but is it as a joy that is indescribable and full of glory? It isn't that he'll just bring you peace, but it is a peace that passes human understanding. It isn't just a love, a phileo, a brotherly love, but it is an agape, a divine, overwhelming love. The Bible doesn't emphasize much of what we should be giving to God, but the Bible does emphasize what God has given to us. Oh, the fullness, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes human knowledge. Interesting thing. Paul is here praying that you might know something that you can't know, because it passes human knowledge. And it's just something that it's the superlatives, and that's the only way you can describe the Christian life, the true Christian life, is in the superlatives. It's just a rich, full, glorious, indescribable joy and blessings of following Jesus Christ. He has given so much to us through Jesus, that more abundant life. So Jesus, it declares here, is the good shepherd. And he knows his sheep. And he loves his sheep. And he desires the best for them. That Psalm of David sort of describes the life that we have in Christ. It is that superabundant life. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. And because he is my shepherd, I shall not want." I shall not want what? I shall not want for nourishment, because he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for refreshment, because he restoreth my soul. I shall not want for refreshment, because he leads me beside the still waters. I shall not want for strength, because he restores my soul. I'll not want for guidance, because he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I'll not want for courage, because I will, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I shall not want for assurance, because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not want for supplies, because thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I shall not want for joy, for you anoint my head with oil. I'll not want for the abundant life, because my cup runneth over. I'll not want for any good thing throughout life, for surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that's the life that we have in Christ. That's the more abundant life that we have in him. But what about when the days of my life are over? When I shall have breathed my last breath and they pull the sheet over my head, what then? Well, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of this, the rich, abundant life that we have in Christ, and when it is over, in his presence, fullness of joy, at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. It should cause you to ask, how can I become one of his sheep? Can I join the church? Can I make a pledge? Can I subscribe to the Apostles' Creed? Well, you can. But that won't make you one of his sheep. You can subscribe to the Apostles' Creed. You can subscribe to the Daily News or Reader's Digest. But none of these things can make you one of his sheep. Jesus said he calls his sheep and they follow him. And you become one of his sheep when you hear his voice calling you and you respond to it. You follow him. He said he was the door of the sheep, and you can enter in by him, and you will be saved. He said that he was the good shepherd, and that he gave his life for the sheep. So you can become one of his sheep by hearing his call, and by entering in by him into this abundant life that he has promised. You will discover that he is indeed the good shepherd who loves you so much that he gave his life for you, that you might know by experience that more abundant life. I have come, Jesus said, that they might have life, and that more abundantly. So the question is, are you living today that more abundant life? Is the life that you have today just so great it's hard to describe? It's hard to explain to someone the joy that you experience, the love that you have for Christ, and just these things that are indescribable, really. A person, well, you know, I could be up here this morning and I could have an ice cream cone and I could be licking that ice cream and saying, you know, this has got to be the greatest ice cream ever made. I mean, my taste buds are just doing wild things, you know, the paroxysms as it's going through. Oh, wow. You can't believe how tasty this ice cream is. And I could go on bragging on how wonderful and tasty this ice cream is, but you won't know unless you would try it. You say, well, can I have some? Well, okay, take a lick, you know. But prove that you love me. But at any rate, it's one of those things that you have to taste to see. And that's what the Bible tells us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't just, you know, hear someone say that it is and just wonder, oh, that sounds great. Oh, it sounds good. But experience for yourself. And it's something that you can't really describe until you yourself have tried it, and then you know that it is true. The peace that passes understanding, the joy that is indescribable and full of glory, the love that just is beyond anything you could ever experience. These are all available for you through Jesus Christ. He said, I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. And that's what he desires for you today, that you might experience that more abundant life that is available for you if you will just but open your heart and invite Jesus Christ to come in. Father, we thank you for the fact that Jesus did come that we might have life, and that more abundantly. And so we pray, Lord, that this day there might be a special work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts, bringing us into that rich, full, abundant life that is there for those who will put their faith and confidence and hope in you. Bless, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, as we just look to you, Lord, and as we just open our hearts now for that work of your Spirit to be accomplished in our lives for your glory. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front. And they're here to minister to you and to help you this day to discover the rich, full, abundant life that is ours in Jesus Christ. And so, as we're dismissed, we would encourage you just to come on forward and just let them talk to you, minister to you, and let you know how you can enter in to that rich, full, abundant life today. And so may the Lord just put his hand upon you. May he guide you into the fullness of his love, and may he lead you in his full purposes and plans for you. And may you go forth this day just filled to overflowing. As David said, my cup runneth over. And that's what he'll do for you. Give you a life that is just overflowing, can't contain it. In fact, it's a great thing. The Lord starts pouring out his blessings on you and you say, oh Lord, this is so rich. Oh Lord, this is wonderful. Oh Lord, I don't think I can handle any more. And he just keeps pouring, you know. And it begins to overflow. And the overflowing cup. And that's what David said, my cup runneth over. Is your cup running over today? Amen. God, good. God wants it too. And he desires that you experience and know that overflowing life. So the Lord bless you. The Lord keep his hand upon you, go before you, guide you, and just lead you in his way that you might experience all that God has for you and wants for you today as you just open your heart and let God take over and have control. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. God bless you. Have a great day.